Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale. Frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Freedom, freedom. Hey, this is great. Freedom,
yes, freedom. Not cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio. Coming to you live from beautiful Grass Storia, Oregon. We're on the northern tip of Oregon, on the coast. You can't get any farther northwest in Oregon than where we're at right now. It's a beautiful gray day. Looking out over the Columbia River and that miraculous, marvelous 4.2-mile bridge across the Columbia River over there into Longview, Washington. Love it up here. We're at Cannabis Carrie's Kensington Estates. It's my little pet name for this big house of hers. But going over those Ohio initiatives, you know, I just knew it's so predictable anymore that any place where marijuana legalization or marijuana medical marijuana reform has a shot, it seems there's going to be the professional, funded, well-written, well-polled, moderate campaign. And then there's going to be the unfunded, grassroots, local, true legalization version to try to compete with it. Seems like that's just going to be the way it goes. It's the way it's going in California. You got one leader, you know, Adult Use of Marijuana Act, one sensible initiative, and two grassroots true legalizations. In Arizona, you got MPP's Crimla, and you got the Arizonans for Mindful Regulation, the grassroots true legalization. You don't have it in Nevada because Nevada's already made the ballot. So nobody else is fighting against that in Nevada at this point. In Massachusetts, it was Massachusetts Crimla versus Bay State Repeal. When Bay State Repeal didn't make their signature count, so they're out for now. But again, you had the two different groups. In Maine, you had the two different groups, which in a rare show of cooperation actually decided to work together on legalization. And now it turns out through some shenanigans at the Secretary of State's office, they didn't make the ballot, although that's being challenged. And I think they'll be successful in that challenge. In Missouri, you've got Missouri going for a sensible, moderate medical marijuana initiative. And then you've got the Mo Crap Act. Yes, folks, the Mo Crap Act, the Missouri Cannabis Restoration and Protection Act, the Mo Crap Act. That proposes unlimited possession, unlimited cultivation, age 18, toking and driving is legal. And they think something like that could pass. The only other state up in the air at this point, state of Florida, with its medical marijuana initiative. And I don't believe there's any grassroots competition for that one. I think that one still stands alone. So it might be the outlier in this 2016 election race. And it's interesting to me because I understand the motivation of some of these people that are true legalizers. And for the moment, let's put aside those that are motivated by purely financial, selfish reasons. the greedy growers against legalization types, the dispensary types, the medical marijuana types that want to keep the status quo and are obfuscating the reasons why. Let's put them aside for a second, because I do believe there are actual, true, grassroots, good people who see a existential danger in this corporate legalization. I'm beginning to feel a tinge of sympathy for them because of the heat that I'm taking over my Bernie or bust stance, where I see this existential threat of the Democratic Party going corporate. And some people are pointing out that, yeah, Russ, that's what these true legalizers have a problem with, is the fear that if we continue down this path, marijuana becomes irrevocably corporate. When we come back from break, I'll tell you why those stances are different.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for cannabis facts about teen drug use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strains stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com. Helping entrepreneurs grow.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com. And you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about the competing initiatives, generically speaking, all across the United States, how there's a professional, well-funded, nationally backed, moderate initiative that stands a good chance of getting on the ballot and passing. And then there's the grassroots, unfunded, true legalization, pie in the sky, won't likely make the ballot, and if it did, would never pass version. And we're seeing that dynamic play out in California and Arizona, and now we're in Missouri, and now we're seeing it in Ohio with respect to medical marijuana, where Marijuana Policy Project has come up with a pretty darn good medical marijuana law. If you want to compare it to the 23 states that already have medical marijuana, it's right up there with some of the best. Possession limit could be higher. 2.5 ounces is a little low on the possession limit. But otherwise, you know, protections for housing and education, child custody, medical procedures, reasonable setup here in this bill. But then you've got Don Wertschafter, the founder of GW Pharmaceuticals, leading off with this Grassroots Ohio and a one-page amendment, because Lord knows how keeping an amendment short when it comes to medical marijuana is the best way to go. We certainly proved that with Prop 19, or Prop 215, didn't we, in California? Just 11 lines, nice and short, fits on one page. There's been no scandal or controversy or strange court decisions or hodgepodge of local contradictory bans and limits because of Prop 215. No, Prop 215 was short. And when bills are short, that means they're good, right? Because it's short, that means it's perfect and nobody will ever argue about it, right? Yeah, right. So that's one thing that cracks me up about this is, oh, they're writing so many regulations into the Constitution. It's just, it's way too much. It's too many regulations. In this situation, when you're trying to protect people from being prosecuted criminally for their use of marijuana, the more regulations is the more explicit protections that you're getting and the more explicit definitions you're getting. So there can be fewer of these gray areas and fewer of these court cases that might have a decision that impacts us negatively. And after 23 states passing laws and ironing out a lot of these things, that may be why some of these laws are getting longer and longer. Because they look back and go, oh, yeah, when we wrote that other law back in 1998 or 2000 or 2004 and it didn't include protections for organ transplants, we saw a lot of medical patients dying because they got discrimination for organ. So, gee, maybe we ought to cover that. So there you go. That's the, you know, whether or not it's short or long. I wanted to address some things that people were saying in the chat room about this. John Chambers asks, does the residency requirement in that MPP initiative, does that trigger issue two? See, that's something that a lot of people need to be reminded of, is that last year when issue three was shot down because it might make Nick Lachey rich, you know, the official explanation is we rejected monopolies, but for some reason the anti-monopoly amendment just barely passed while the legalization amendment went down in flames. So it doesn't seem to me that it lost so much because of the monopoly part. Anyway, when they rejected that legalization with issue three, what came along with it was sabotage by the Ohio legislature in the form of issue two. Issue two states that any initiative that tries to create an economic benefit or preferred tax status to any entity that is not similarly conferred onto other like entities shall first have to go through a vote to determine whether or not it can even be voted on. So what this issue two does is it makes it so that these medical marijuana initiatives, either MPPs or the Grassroots Ohio one, would have to get two majority votes. Because he's asking, you know, does the residency requirement trigger issue two? Well, I'm not sure. But if the issue two says something that creates a special status has to be voted on twice, well, being a resident makes a special class of citizens who have this special economic right that I, as a non-Ohio citizen, can't have. That sounds to me like it might trigger issue two. In the Grassroots Ohio one, it talks about all this medical marijuana stuff, but also says industrial hemp is legal and its commerce is legal. Does that trigger a single issue situation? I think Ohio is one of those states that has one of those single issues for initiatives. You can't have the kitchen sink amendment that covers like 19 things. It has to be on one specific issue. Will the legislature, which does not, or the attorney general or whoever reviews this, that do not like the idea of legalization, do you think they might interpret that in such a way that it's two separate issues? Put it back on square one? I don't know. All I do know is that Ohioans might be looking back after MPP's initiative passes and thinking, gosh, that issue three, we would have all been able to have a lot more rights than under this one. We wouldn't have had to get doctor's notes and have to deal with all that. Now, I know the grassroots Ohio people, I know who Don Wertschafter is, and I know his background, and I know those folks. And while they dress this up in medical marijuana terms, they really just want to legalize it. Which, again, is fine by me. Legalize it, right? But I have a problem with trying to legalize it by saying it's medical when you know damn well what you're writing is something that would open the floodgates to all the recreational use in the world. This amendment says that people who have reached the age of majority, and that's age 18 in Ohio, so long as you're not mentally impaired, people aged 18 and older can use, possess, cultivate, process, and share cannabis for medical purposes. So 18-year-olds who can still be high school age people, right? They can still be in their senior year of high school, can possess medical marijuana, can possess cannabis for medical purposes. Well, what is a medical purpose? Well, the initiative doesn't say. Who determines if the purpose is medical? Well, the initiative doesn't say. I guess it's up to the 18-year-old when he's caught with cannabis and the cop says, hey, you've got cannabis, for the 18-year-old to say, but it's for medical purposes. How much cannabis is for medical purposes? Well, it doesn't say. It just says you can possess cannabis for medical purposes. Is a pound reasonable for medical purposes? Doesn't say. Now, like I said, I got no problem with that. Like I said, many times, if it were up to me, we'd be passing the Russ Belville True Legalization Amendment that allows all people aged 18 and older possess as much cannabis as they want, grow as much cannabis as they want, buy and sell it, cap the taxes at $20 an ounce, cap the price at $50 an ounce, and gift everyone a free quarter pound on their birthday. That's what I'd be passing. But I'd be upfront about it, right? I'd say that's why we're passing, because everybody has the right to use cannabis. I wouldn't be dressing up in this medical terminology that actually is more lenient than California's medical marijuana. This Grassroots Ohio initiative, if it were snuck through, would be more lenient than California. And don't think for a second that the opponents of medical marijuana wouldn't be jamming that down the ears and eyes of every piece of media viewership and listenership that they could possibly find in attack ad after attack ad after attack ad. It's just, like I said, the heart part of me is like, yay, it'd be legal. But the head part of me is like, why are you putting forth something that is so tragically flawed from the perspective of having to defend it against attacks? And I think there's this kind of, I don't know if hubris is the right word, arrogance, this attitude among some legalizers who say, well, look, we've legalized in four states and 58% of the people support legalization, so obviously they're ready for what I think legalization should be. It's that same kind of arrogance that we saw when medical marijuana passed, and a lot of these medical marijuana people had the attitude of, oh, well, 80% of the people support medical marijuana, so let's just run forth with it, not understanding that the 80% of the people who say they support medical marijuana includes a large, large percentage of them for whom medical marijuana means somebody is sick and dying, obviously so, and we're going to look the other way if they want to use some pot. They're not endorsing it, so to speak. They're not sold on it being the healing of the nations and all uses medical. They're just, in a very limited sense, exercising the moral equation or inequality that it's worse to let a cancer patient suffer than to, it's worse to throw a cancer patient in jail and not let him suffer and so forth. So the same thing's happening here with legalization, I think. We get 1 ounce and six plants legalized, and suddenly they think that, America's ready for age 18-year-olds to possess and cultivate as much as they possibly want under the guise that wink, wink, nudge, nudge, it's for medical purposes. And this part about, okay, so I also have to laugh at this because of the scientific inaccuracy of it. The part of it that says evidence of active or inactive metabolites is not evidence of being under the influence of cannabis. There's no such thing as an active metabolite. There is such a thing as THC, the active molecule in cannabis that impairs you. There is such a thing as carboxy THC, the metabolite of the formerly active cannabis, the formerly active THC that could impair you, that it is in itself inactive. But there's no such thing as an active metabolite. So if this went to a court case and they went by the letter of what's written in the thing, active metabolite is a null phrase. But regardless, if we get past that, evidence of active THC in the blood is not evidence of being under the influence of cannabis. And prior to that, it says you can't operate heavy machinery while under the influence of cannabis. So what that's telling us by adding those two together is that having active THC in your blood is not enough to say that you shouldn't be driving a car. And you play that the right way in court, and what it means is, if you caught me toking and driving and you couldn't prove that I was swerving, it wasn't a crime.
Hey, bud, let's party.
I'm sure Jeff Spicoli would love it. I love it. I don't have a problem with really even toking while driving for people that have their tolerance and know what they're doing. I'm just saying it would be a really, really hard sell to an Ohio voter. Happy 422, everybody. We're 2 minutes late. I got to get busy. I'm a little behind here. Live from Grass Story, Oregon. We're back right after this.
From high atop Mount Soledad in San Diego, California, 100 feet above sea level. Good morning. It's Good News with cannabis nurse Heather.
This plant is amazing. Positive change is happening. We did it. No matter who you are, you can make a positive impact on the world.
I would rather be illegally alive than legally dead.
And that quote helped to give you strength.
Nurse Heather is only on CannabisRadio.com.
Good morning, Cannabis Nurse Heather.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and The Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 424 here in Astoria, Oregon. Next week, I'll be coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. At least I think I am. I don't know if I'm going next week or the week after. It might be the week after. We shall see. But eventually I'll be in Phoenix, Arizona. Also looking forward to trying to make it out to New York City, April 19th through the 21st for UNGAS, the UN General Assembly Special Session. They're holding this session specifically on drug policy, given the changes in the United States and Uruguay and other countries that are trying to get some cogent response to the Latin American and South American countries that are pointing out, hey, America's legalized all in all these states and you haven't enforced the treaties against them. Why should we have to keep enforcing America's prohibition in our countries, leading to all this mayhem and violence and bloodshed? They got a decent point. So hope I make it out there to that area. Another place I want to try to make it to April 2nd is Washington, D.C., where Adam Eidinger and the D.C. activists are putting together a protest at the White House, a smoke-in at the White House, to demand President Obama use executive action for marijuana legalization or reform before the end of his term. And what will make that special is it'll be a few days, maybe a week or two, after the end of Chris Goldstein's federal prohibition. Now, or probation, I should say. Chris Goldstein, you may or may not know, is the man who created my career. He was the man who created the Normal Daily Audio Stash podcast back in 2006, back before anybody knew what the hell a podcast was. He was doing the Daily Audio Stash. And did that for 2 years, and I took over in 2008. So Chris literally created my job. Well, Chris, along with others, had been participating in the smoke out prohibition rallies that they held in Philadelphia at the site of the Liberty Bell, which, of course, is a federal park. And, of course, they light up joints at 420, and they did this for month after month after month on a specific day of the month until finally the federal park people did not like it and arrested Chris for smoking weed on federal property. He eventually went to trial, and as part of the trial, he ended up on probation for 2 years. So subject to frequent random urine screens and unable to smoke cannabis for 2 years. And Chris, you know, he's puffing tough like me, right? He's a regular consumer. So to go without cannabis for 2 years, that's something. And this will be over in this month sometime. And so that DC smoke out, he may be legal to smoke. He may no longer be on probation. Now, I don't know if the terms of his settlement meant that he can no longer protest on any sort of federal property, so that might keep him out of it. Regardless, I want to be on the East Coast, and I want to hang out with my friend Chris Goldstein and smoke a gold joint with him just to celebrate. His probation and all of that, I think, has cost him about $3,000 as well. So when you hear that, you know, you hear the drug warriors say, look, yeah, we don't care about the people who are smoking marijuana. We're going after the kingpins. We're going after the growers and the sellers. We don't care about little personal amounts of marijuana. Folks, he was smoking a joint, a single joint at the Liberty Bell. The Liberty Bell. So, yeah, bullshit that they don't care about personal amounts. They certainly care about personal amounts when you're trying to make a political statement with them at the Liberty Bell. Let me get back to our chat room. And by the way, if you're listening here on CannabisRadio.com, if you're new to the network, we do have a chat room available through Spreaker.com. On the Cannabis Radio main site, if you scroll down to the player, there's this little cartoon-looking balloon. Should be wiggling and waggling at you. If you click that, it'll open up a separate window. You can join our chat room with Michael and a couple of Johns and Tony. Who else is in here? Roland Reverend. Dan's in here today. Big Daddy Fink. Good to see y'all here. But John Thomas made a good point. I wanted to bring this up and talk about it a little bit because I made this connection. In fact, somebody else on my Twitter feed made this connection, and I've been waiting for someone to make it. If you read my stuff on Huffington Post politics, you know that I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter. I'm a feel the burn guy, and I'm definitely a Bernie or bust guy. And what that means is this phenomenon of people who support Bernie Sanders who will not vote for Hillary Clinton. And it's gotten me a lot of flack from a lot of people that, if you don't vote for Hillary Clinton, you're enabling President Trump. Well, first of all, we haven't even decided who the nominee is yet. Sanders could still be the nominee. We still haven't even seen what's going to come of the FBI's investigation into Clinton's email server. She might be forced to withdraw, you know, and Sanders could be. So we don't even know that she's the nominee yet. Playing that whole you have to vote for Hillary or else Trump wins is already acceding to the idea that she's going to be the nominee. So I don't grant her that yet at all. But assuming she is, not voting for her does not mean someone's voting for Trump. Not voting for her means someone's not voting for her. Voting for Trump means someone's voting for Trump. I'm tired of this extortion that goes on from the Democratic Party that says, look the other way on all our misdeeds because at least we're not as crazy as the Republican. And if you don't support us, you're electing the crazy Republican. No, crazy Republicans are electing crazy Republicans. Progressive Democrats normally elect Democrats. If you can't get enough votes from progressives and liberals to elect your Democrat, then maybe you ought to think about running some progressives and liberals. But you can't continue to extort us and can't continue to say that it's our refusal to support the worst actions of the Democratic Party and blame us for what you have wrought. And again, I'm not someone who demands ideological purity. I'm not in line with any candidate 100%. There's things that Bernie likes that I disagree with. But there is a limit. You know, if I can run down 3, 4, 5 things about a candidate that I don't agree with, but we agree about all the rest of the things, well, then I can accept that. Except for a few, you know, absolute, you know, deal breakers. I can't support, for example, any candidate who's pro-life, right? With the idea that we need to control women's bodies. Can't do it. But generally speaking, on policy issues, if there's some degree of difference, I can still support that candidate. But there's a point at which how many degrees of difference can you accept? And the other day I came up with 25 for Hillary Clinton that I could not accept. And people in Twitter are actually feeding me more. Here's number 26, here's number 27, here's number 28. her support for regime change in Honduras that recently got someone murdered. You know, those kind of things. Anyway, I digress because the point was that I've written these articles about how I only support Bernie because supporting Hillary is supporting the things I hate worst about the Democratic Party and how it slid to the right. And someone on Twitter caught me the other day and said, how can you have that stance for the radical change of Bernie against the moderate likely to win Hillary when you have the opposite stance when it comes to marijuana legalization? You support the moderate likely to win Adult Use of Marijuana Act and reject the more radical CCHI and MCLR. First of all, I don't reject them. I'd support them if they made the ballot as well. Second of all, it's apples to oranges comparison because we're talking about whether or not we would end prohibition. Electing Hillary Clinton is talking about whether we continue corporate DNC, right? I'm trying to stop something that's bad in both cases. I'm trying to stop prohibition in the case of marijuana, and I'm trying to stop the corporatization of the DNC in the Hillary Clinton case. So I don't see them as being equal at all. But John Thomas brought up this really good point in the chat room. And it has to do with how I pointed out there's always these moderate, well-funded regulatory tax and regulate schemes that end up with competition from these grassroots, radical, free the weed type schemes. And how the free the weed people, and like that person on Twitter that was coming after me on the Hillary Clinton thing, they see an existential threat in the corporatization of marijuana like I see an existential threat in the corporatization of Democratic politics. And to that extent, I could see that semblance of similarity. I could see their point in that respect. But those people that are seeing this corporate takeover are missing the forest for the trees, which is that the corporate takeover, if we are going to call it that, means the ending of the criminal takeover of marijuana. We're improving things. Corporations are better than criminals running this thing. Once we're no longer criminals in this movement and in this industry, once corporations and business can legally buy, sell, and trade in this industry, then we have the standing to work for more freedom in that respect. We're no longer criminals asking for the right to get high. We're now consumers asking for liberalization of consumer policies. And that's why legalization trumps any sort, pardon the pun, trumps any sort of prohibition. And unlike the Hillary Clinton Bernie Sanders thing, more than one of them can make the ballot. In the case of Hillary versus Bernie, it's a choice of either or, either Hillary or Bernie. In the case of Adult Use of Marijuana Act, CCHI, and MCLR, if I were a Californian, I would sign the petitions for all three, and I'd be delighted if all three made the ballot, and I would eagerly vote for all three. I don't have to be anti one of them like I have to be anti Hillary Clinton. Now, the only thing that's different, though, is with their three different initiatives, you're dividing and conquering the electorate, you're splitting the base, you're dividing up your resources to be able to get something on the ballot. There is that negative. I guess some people could make that comparison to Bernie and Hillary as well. If you're contributing these millions of small donations to Bernie, they're not going to Hillary, but she doesn't need the help. She's got super PACs, right? But John Thomas, to finally get around to his point, says, to want non-corporate marijuana is to ask marijuana reform to carry the burden of a general economic revolution on its back. We've got enough of a monstrous weight with prohibition to remove without taking on that crusade. Exactly. And that goes back to the point I often make where, you know, I say these stoners against legalization would have rejected the Emancipation Proclamation because it didn't grant black people the right to marry white people. You've got to pick and choose your battles. You got to know what battle is ready to be fought. At the time of the Emancipation Proclamation, if you'd have thrown black men can marry white women in it, it'd have turned out even worse than it turned out. Have to know when to pick and choose your battles. And right now is not the time for the everyone 18 and older can have as much medical cannabis as they want, and they don't need anybody's permission, and it's all loosey-goosey. I pray that we get to that point. And it's okay that people are pushing for that, I suppose. I got no problem with you pushing for your true legalization. The problem I have is when you start pushing against other people's less than true legalization from your perspective. Support your initiative. That's great. Don't fight somebody else's initiative, because anybody else's initiative is better than the prohibition we have today. Got to take a break. We're live in Grastoria, Oregon when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. Candid.
I want to give you the inside story.
Captivating.
I want to introduce you to my kind and amazingly talented friends.
Compelling.
We get to meet some of the most amazing cannabis activists and warriors around.
Listen in as medical marijuana pioneer Dr. Dina shares never-before-heard stories, chats with cannabis insiders and celebrity friends, and provides invaluable perspective and insight into one of the fastest-growing industries in the world.
I want to share with you what was once confidential information. Let's expose the truth, discuss the issues, and learn the facts.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody, from beautiful Grass, Astoria, Oregon. Just checking out what's going on in the chat room. People making the point that Gary Johnson's out there running for the Libertarian nomination for president. We followed Gary Johnson around in 2012, of course. It was almost like he was stalking me. Got spooky a couple of times. Gary Johnson's a good guy. And as here's my thing with libertarianism, okay? Let me just get off on this little libertarian thing for a second. I get the idea that less government is preferred, you know, we want to have local control of things and so forth. And where libertarians stand on the social issues, I couldn't be in more agreement, right? If you want to, you know, trade money for sex, you want to do drugs, you want to, you know, live your life your way, so long as you're not harming someone else, bam. I'm for you. Libertarianism on that regard, absolutely for it. Where I have problems with libertarianism is when they start applying those principles of leave everybody alone to the business world, to the ideas of deregulation, and the idea that any sort of economic transaction between two parties is between two parties of equal, somehow equal standing who have equal rights in the issue, right? Libertarianism operates on this idea that, well, you know, if I'm running a store and I choose to pay my employees a dollar an hour and they choose to work for me for a dollar an hour, well, then it's all okay. Look, nobody's going to choose to work for a buck an hour. They work for a buck an hour because of desperation, because of a situation that allows you to pay them something so low. My only problems with libertarianism come around when you start adding dollar signs to it, because dollar signs change the power dynamic between two people in a transaction. And I believe that's where government needs to step in to protect us from economically raping one another, right? In an unfair way. Now, I'm not against capitalism. I'm not against making a buck. And I understand that in capitalism, there's always an inequity that exists in order to facilitate trade. Somebody's making a deal, right? The best case scenario is when a deal is made and both people feel like they've got something good out of it, but that's not always the way it works out in capitalism. So I want a level, I'm all social libertarian as hell, but I want some level of government oversight over capitalism. To me, capitalism is like any species, right? Capitalism is a way of keeping score in the game of life. And in the game of life, there's winners and losers, and there's survival of the fittest, and there's the there's the coalescing of powers, right? It's why now in America, we've ended up with Coke and Pepsi, Microsoft and Apple, Walmart and Target, Sam's Club and Costco, Home Depot and Lowe's, right? How many different, McDonald's and Burger King, how many different areas in our capitalist world can you think of where there's two major behemoths and maybe some little players running around the edges, but mostly two major behemoths? It's just about in everything we've got. Even in our politics, Republicans and Democrats, right? Same idea, Coke and Pepsi. So in my mind, and I learned this, you know, back in hunter education when I was a kid, right? Where they always justified it by saying, well, you know, we have to have hunting because you have to cull the herd. You can't let the organism continue to reproduce and consume and reproduce and consume and reproduce and consume, or eventually they'll have eaten themselves out of house and home and they'll start dying, right, and suffering. That was always a hunting justification, right? But I took it to heart in the sense that, yeah, organisms always want to reproduce and consume. Well, in capitalism, the capitalist organism wants to reproduce and consume and reproduce and consume, and eventually you end up where, like I was saying, you've got two big behemoths and everybody else is little tiny fish. And so the hunting aspect of it was a way of correcting the food chain, a way of redistributing the wealth of life, if you will, from the apex predators, the ones that get all the way on the top there, or the the animals that have no natural enemies that end up overpopulating. We add hunters, we add other ways of conserving the environment to be able to cull that herd, to be able to reduce that organism, to be able to bring it back into harmony with the rest of life. Now in nature, what culls the herd is starvation, disease, predators that are higher up on the food chain, death, which eventually causes us all to return to the earth from which we came, and so forth, right? In natural order, in ecosystems, there's supposed to be this balance that is self-correcting. Now, we've kind of messed up a lot of it, but it's supposed to be self-correcting. That's what I see government's role in capitalism. It's not that capitalism's bad, just like life isn't bad, but life unrestrained, life ungoverned by natural selection and the process of life and death becomes overgrown, overpopulated, poisons its own environment. And that's where government comes in as a way, as the natural selection, as the breaks, as the restriction, as the way of culling the herd when it becomes necessary. We saw it before in the past when, you know, the Teddy Roosevelt broke up the big trusts, when, the baby bell, or when Ma Bell was broken up. We've seen it in situations where corporate entities have become too big, and for the good of the environment, the good of our economic environment, we broke them up to be more competitive, to allow more diversity. It's something we ought to be doing now with the banks that are bigger now than they were when they were too big to fail and they crashed our economy. It's something we ought to be doing now with the media and telecommunications industries, where we have just 4 wireless carriers and 6 major corporations that carry 90% of our television, internet, and radio and newspapers. Anyway, took that down a long road. I don't even remember what my original point was, because it's a Friday and we're here in Astoria, Oregon, and there have been dabs involved. But I was talking about libertarians, and Michael in the chat room is bringing up this point that if it ends up a Hillary versus Trump matchup, there are a lot of Democrats, and I know a lot of them, who are burning your bust like me, who say if Hillary is the nominee, there is no way in hell I'm going to vote for her. They won't vote for Trump, but no way in hell are they going to vote for Hillary. And I know Republicans who feel the same way about Trump. No way in hell are they going to vote for Trump. Now, they won't vote for Hillary, but no way in hell would they vote for Trump. So you got a seriously disaffected Republican base and a serious... Well, okay. The Republican base that's racist and xenophobic and all that, they're excited as hell about Trump. I'm talking about real Republicans, not the Republicans who are Republicans because that's the party where they have cover for their homophobia and their racism and stuff. I'm talking about people like my friend Sharon. A lot of my friends who are good, down home, you know, Ann Lee, conservative Christian type people, but not a racist, homophobic, sexist bone in their body, right? They just believe in what they think are conservative principles. There's a whole lot of them that are never going to support Trump. There's a whole lot of us that are never going to support Hillary. This may be the perfect storm that allows a third-party candidate like a Gary Johnson to actually win. Keep in mind that in third-party candidacies, generally the third party has never topped 19%. I believe 19% was what John Anderson got in the 1980 election with Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. In the 92 election with President Clinton and President H.W. Bush at the time, and Ross Perot, I think Perot got 6 or 7%. I might be wrong on that. Maybe it was double digits. But Bill Clinton only got the presidency with 42% of the vote, or maybe it was 43, but it was not a majority. So could Gary Johnson, a libertarian, siphon off enough of those Republicans who hate the social side of Trump, being the xenophobe and the Islamophobe and all the hateful shit that he says and the violence he encourages and the racism at his rallies and all that stuff, could he suck over enough of those Republicans who are fiscally conservative, who would actually have libertarian-leaning economic principles, And could Gary Johnson pull over enough lefties, enough progressives who will never vote for Hillary Clinton, but would appreciate a libertarian view on gay rights, marijuana legalization, prostitution legalization, generally keeping government's nose out of people's business? And consider on both sides of the aisle, people are fed up with politics as usual. They've had it with the two-party system. They think it's all rigged. It's all bought and sold. That could drive independents to a Gary Johnson. Could a Gary Johnson win a plurality of votes in a three-way race with Hillary and Trump? He'd only need to get 34%. If he got 34 and Trump and Hillary got 33% each, Gary Johnson be the president. Of course, it doesn't work as easy as that. I shouldn't simplify it that much because it's not 34% of the popular vote, of course. You know, like a democracy, it's a republic. We have electoral college. Gary Johnson would have to get to 270 electoral votes. That might be harder to do because that means Gary Johnson winning at least 34% in enough of the states that add up to the 270 electoral votes. Then consider what happens if none of them get enough electoral votes. If that three-way split happens and none of them can make it to 270, the election gets thrown to the House of Representatives. House of Representatives, overwhelmingly Republican-led, and in the Democratic Party on the House side, there's still a lot of those blue dog Democrats from conservative areas. Does the House of Representatives hand it over to Donald Trump? When the House of Representatives and when the Republican leadership generally despise Donald Trump, despite their candidates all saying they would support the Republican nominee, would the House rebel, especially the Tea Party wing of the House? Would they rebel against affirming Donald Trump as the Republican nominee to win the White House through the House of Representatives? Or would they switch their allegiance over to a Gary Johnson? I don't think it can happen. I still think the math is so overwhelmingly against third parties in this country that I don't think it can happen. But if I have to rate the chances it could happen compared to any other election, I think they're higher in this election than any other election I've ever paid attention to. Still don't think it can happen, but if it could happen, this would be the time. All right, we're going to take a short break. Get things ready for Stoner Jesus coming up live here at the top of this next hour. Just 7 minutes away from the Stoner Jesus Show, live here on CannabisRadio.com. I'm Radical Russ in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon. We'll pay a couple bills and be right back to say goodbye right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
The Russ Belville Show. Providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. Candid.
I want to give you the inside story.
Captivating.
I want to introduce you to my kind and amazingly talented friends.
Compelling.
We get to meet some of the most amazing cannabis activists and warriors around.
Listen in as medical marijuana pioneer Dr. Dina shares never-before-heard stories, chats with cannabis insiders and celebrity friends, and provides invaluable perspective and insight into one of the fastest-growing industries in the world.
I want to share with you what was once confidential information. Let's expose the truth, discuss the issues, and learn the facts.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Radical Russ here, closing up shop for another day and another great week here on CannabisRadio.com. Remember, CannabisRadio.com is now the home of the Tommy Chong podcast. Catch it every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, right after the Stoner Jesus Show, which you can hear Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 p.m. live here on CannabisRadio.com. I'm Radical Russ with the Russ Belville Show. We are live 5 days a week here on CannabisRadio.com at 3 p.m. Pacific. Plus, make sure you check out our other shows. We got Dr. Mitch Earlywine with Burning Issues. The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman, the legendary grower. We've got Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina, the medical marijuana doctor to the stars. We've got Hemp Present with Vivian McPeak. We've got the SSDP show. We've got a Ganjapreneur show. We've got a new show from PayQuick that'll be starting up very soon. And you can get your show on CannabisRadio.com as well. Just visit us at CannabisRadio.com and you'll find all the information that you need. All right, folks, going to close up shop here. Stoner Jesus is next, coming up at the top of the hour. Want to thank everybody for your support and your continued sponsorship here on the Russ Belville Show. If you're interested in being a name sponsor of the Russ Belville Show, please get in touch with me. I'm RadicalRuss@gmail.com. You can have your brand mentioned at the beginning of any one of my segments, which will go down forever on SoundCloud and throughout podcasts all across the country. Also, if you got a product you like to promote, I'm all about having endorsement deals. Trying to get one with shinepapers.com for those 24 karat gold rolling papers. I love those things. But remember, I travel all over the country and I have smoke sessions with lots and lots of people well embedded in the cannabis industry and the marijuana movement. So if you're interested, please contact me, radicalrus@gmail.com. It's through your support that I'm able to keep this show on full time and free since 2008. For everyone here at Kensington Estates in beautiful Grass Story, Oregon, and CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.